often wondered, where does this exuberant vitality come from that fills every page and even every line of the books of Danny Laferrière? Not only in his book The Return, L'Énigme de Retour, that received the Literature Award of the House of World Cultures tonight. It starts with book titles. Danny Laferrière is a master of frivolous, melancholic, or sometimes simply funny book titles that entice the curiosity of the reader and gives critics a runaround. Deceived Expectations, this is the term for such ruses. It starts with his first book, Comment faire l'amour avec un nègre sans se fatiguer? How to make love to a Negro without getting tired? A title that I do not even dare to translate literally into German. Let me just say that Negro in Creole, neg, in Haiti, does not imply a racial prejudice, but simply means man. And more book titles. The Aroma of Coffee and Les Goûts des Jeunes Filles, The Taste of Young Girls, published in English as Dining with a Dictator. I just show signs to show the quotation of the title of the book. And then there's the next book, Pays sans chapeau, Land Without a Hat, Down on My Dead Men, The Charm of Endless Afternoons, and even a film scenario with a provoking title, How to Conquer America in One Night. And even the gudu gudu, this is the Creole word for the devastating earthquake that took place on January 12th, 2010. And even this gudu gudu was ironically portrayed by Laferrière in the book The World is Moving Around Me. Tout bouge autour de moi. Gudu gudu is the sound that the reinforced concrete emanates when there is an earthquake. Let me say no more about that. 300,000 people were killed in that earthquake. But the impression of spontaneity is deceptive because although Laferrière is not an academic author at all, and although he avoids any didactic writing by all means, he does not write instinctively. The fact that he has reworked his earlier novels to turn them into epic chronicles of exiles show that he is not just writing off the cuff. The Return, awarded the Prix Médicine Paris, is his most mature and richest book. The summary of his oeuvre, a travel to the end of the day that starts in ice-cold Canada, goes through New York and back to Port-au-Prince, following the traces of his deceased father and his own ego. An internal monologue that effortlessly includes the reader, like a saxophone solo of John Coltrane or a piano soliloquy by Thelonious Monk. The comparison with the Masters of Jazz was immediately understandable to the jury, because this text is open to all sides. It's a kind of invitation to the readers to step in or descend the way they want to. And it does not include any teaching or preaching or factual information. Maybe I should also say, I wanted to become a jazz musician before I decided to start a career as a writer. I couldn't become a jazz musician. I had not enough talent. The author doesn't tell the reader what to think, what to believe. This way he avoids two obstacles that would make it difficult for us to understand the remote culture of Haiti. The danger of Caribbean regional teaching and the Creole folklore, which would require a full course of studies to understand it. Danny Laferrière does not explain anything. He tells Haiti without false emotionalism, without premature accusations, and without self-pity. He does not bewail misery and underdevelopment, but he praises the dignity and the beauty of Haitians. He praises their inventiveness and their creativity, without which living and surviving in the poorhouse of America would be impossible. It sounds as if Danny Laferrière was an unpolitical author who considers Haiti the best of all worlds, but quite the opposite is true. I quote Danny Laferrière from The Return. Since governments no longer have the possibility to throw a rebellious journalist into jail, the rich citizens took over and did buy them cheap, because corrupt journalists will be bought with money. The poor but honest journalists will be bought with recognition. The horny journalist will be bought by letting him smell the subtle smell of a young girl that bows over him during a reception in the society. Danny Laferrière knows what he's talking about because he was a journalist himself, and in 1976 he could just escape de Valier's dictatorship. He was born in 1953 as the son of a politically active father. He grew up with his grandmother, whom he honors in his books, and he worked as a freelancer for Haiti Inter, the radio station, and the journal Le Petit Samedi Soir, which was the only journal that dared to criticize Baby Doc's regime. Radio is a very important medium in Haiti for the poor. And at that time, people in the slums had transistor radios, which was a major contributing factor to the toppling of Baby Doc. When his colleague Gasner Raymond was murdered, and the Pen Club protested against this murder, and I had been one of the initiators of the protest, Laferrière fled to Quebec and started commuting between Montreal and Miami, and he still does that. In May, in autumn 1976, I interviewed the editor of Le Petit Samedi Soir, and then I attended a literature congress in Montreal. There I met Édouard Glissant from the Antilles, an author that is published by Wunderhorn Verlag in Germany, and I also met Hector Bianchi, a French-speaking Argentinian, who was succeeded by Laferrière at the Académie Française. Victor Bianchotti has passed away. In February 1986, Baby Doc Duvalier was ousted, and in April I met Danny Laferrière in Montreal. I looked at him when he signed his first novel, but when it was my turn, the book was sold out, and that is why I brought the book tonight for him to give me an autograph. It's a different book, but anyhow, it's a book by Danny Laferrière. You know what I mean. Then I could only see him at a distance during the festival of the Étonnant Voyageur, Amazing Travelers of Saint-Malo, and I have to explain what this is. Amazing Travelers, it's a quotation from Baudelaire, and this is the motto for a very interesting congress of travelogue writers in Saint-Malo and in other places. Étonnant voyageur, what have you tell us what you've seen. Now, this is the slogan of this congress. Later, I met him at the book fair in Port-au-Prince, Livre en Folie, and then in Salzburg, where he presented The Return. At that time, it was not yet even translated. A thrilling, spellbounding flow of language, starting as a long poem, widening to become an essay, an autobiographical report, and at the same time, an homage to Césaire's poetical manifest, Notebook of a Return to the Native Land. In Caribbean terms, this manifesto of Césaire has been the marriage of surrealism and negritude, a canonical text of 1939 that Laferrière doesn't interpret historically, But he continues the narration, starting from the presence where his life and his work is rooted. All his books are rooted in the present, in the here and now. It's nearly a miracle how Beate Till, the translator, succeeded in getting across this complex message from an alien world, and how she made it understandable for the readers here, without dubious exoticisms, without attempts to put a ruse up. And she could even convey the linguistic jokes into German, and she also conveyed the vibrant rhythm and musicality of the original. Again, it's similar to jazz, and here we should recognize and thank the translator. Since we're about to say thanks, let me dedicate this speech to two friends who died in the earthquake of 2010. Danny Laferrière knew them well because Haiti's intellectuals are a disunited brotherhood. The writer Georges Anglade, who had returned from exile and died when his house collapsed, and the opposition leader Micha Gaillard, who died on the stairs of the Palace of Justice. If he had left the building 3 seconds earlier, he might still be alive. Michel was the son of the historian Roger Gaillard, whose many volumes were published under the slogan Les Blancs débarquent, the Whites disembark. A leitmotif of Haiti's history, starting with the landing of Columbus on the 6th of December 1492, through the invasion of General Leclerc, who came with 30,000 elite soldiers of the Grand Army and tried in vain to reintroduce slavery on behalf of Napoleon, and ending with the landing of the U.S. Marines in July 1915. They wanted to preempt the Germans, and they stayed in Haiti until 1934. Here, let me just explain. There was a very strong presence in Haiti before the First World War. My grandfather used to live there. He ran a pharmacy, and the U.S. were afraid that Imperial Germany would set up an army base in Haiti for the Navy. And so the Americans occupied Haiti and stayed until 1934. 60 years later, 1994, they returned ex-President Aristide, a friend of Bill Clinton, to Port-au-Prince, followed by 10,000 UN blue helmets that more or less try to govern the misery of Haiti. The last invasion was the invasion of relief agencies and NGOs. And although they did a good job, they had destroyed the last bit of resourcefulness of the Haitian people. And this answers the question that I've asked in the beginning. How come the books of Danny Laferrière are so vital and vibrant? They come from Haiti, from the spirit of rebellion, the aesthetics of resistance, which has always been characteristic for the culture and history of Haiti until the present day. Thank you.